the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you. Be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Cal. Appreciate it. Walking where Jesus walked. As Kimberly mentioned, we are in the second part on the Lord's Prayer. I want to begin by asking a question, and I'm going to ask it two ways. I want to ask it this way. Listen carefully, and please don't be put off by it. Okay? We know the words, but do we pray the prayer? It's often called the Lord's Prayer. It's also referred to as the Disciples' Prayer because it's the prayer he taught his disciples. I'm going to make it a little more personal. You and I know the words, but do you and I pray the prayer? Last week we talked about how when Jesus taught them how to pray, he said that they were not to pray by trying to impress others, but the purpose of prayer was to have intimacy with God. That the purpose of prayer is not to inform God about everything in our lives, rather it's to transform us to be like him. The first part was to talk about the fact that we are to focus on God. And I'd like to put it in just a little bit different way this week. In prayer, we acknowledge and seek to know his character in order that we might reflect his character. It's about focusing on who he is, our Heavenly Father, our Holy Father, the Father we revere and honor. The second thing we looked at is we looked at focusing on his purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in prayer, we come under the rule and reign of God through surrender or submission to his kingdom and his will. And in actuality, in the prayer, thy kingdom come and thy will be done is actually two ways of stating the same thing. Oftentimes we think about his kingdom coming as when he comes in glory. The truth of the matter is Jesus' primary emphasis was his kingdom of grace and his kingdom coming into our hearts and lives that it might go out to others that they might be part of the kingdom as well. The truth is when Jesus prayed and taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, he was teaching us that we have to submit to God's rule and reign in our lives. And if we do that in prayer, it will become a reality in our day-to-day living. We now want to go on to what is often referred to as the part of the prayer that refers to us and our needs. And it starts out with something very, very simple. Give us this day our daily bread. Guess I already hit that one. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. It's often referred to the fact that God is saying that God, in prayer, we learn to depend on his provision, and it's especially talking about our provision for necessities. There are some commentators who say that it's really saying, give us this day our necessities, food, clothing, shelter, etc. But I would like to suggest to you, while that is true, and while we can pray for those things we need, not want, need, the primary meaning behind this is not our physical needs, but our spiritual needs. What was it Jesus said? Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every that proceeds from the mouth of God. If it were true that he will always provide our physical needs and necessities, there would be no one hungry, no one without a home, no one without knowing where they would stay or where they're going to live. But that's not the case. Give us this day our daily necessities, primarily referring to the part that's talking about asking God to meet our daily spiritual needs, which is primarily our need for him. And usually when we even pray for our necessities, we only pray for it when we're down to the part where we can't do anything else, we don't know what else to do, so finally we'll kind of mention it to him along the way. You ever been there? doesn't say wait till you need it. He says pray for our daily necessities. And our daily necessities spiritually, we often don't know ourselves. That's why we need to pray for it each day. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're giving ourselves the reminder that everything we have comes from Him. Everything we have comes from Him. Our food, our strength, our health, our ability to earn money, everything. And if that's true of the physical needs, how much more true is it of the fact that everything we have spiritually comes from Him? Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have received every blessing there is in the heavenly realm. Are you aware of that? You know, I think one thing we do, and I got this from a sermon that Jana gave me on a CD. But you know, we often use this phrase in our prayers, Lord, bless me. And that's okay. But do you realize as you're praying that prayer that God has told you that you have already received every blessing there is in Christ? Maybe we should change that prayer to, Lord, thank you for blessing me. It might change our perspective. He's already blessed us with everything. We also pray sometimes, Lord, be with me. Hello? Who dwells within you if you're His child? He's already within through His Spirit. Give us what we need each day. A reminder of our need to depend on Him. In fact, if you really were to do the contrast, the reason we need to pray, give us this day our daily bread, is because we need to go from being independent of God to being dependent on God in every aspect of our lives. He goes on and says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, you ever been in a place where there's people from different churches? And you get to that part, and some people are saying debts, and some people are saying trespasses, and some people don't know what to say because they might say the wrong thing. And it kind of feels like there's an awkward moment when there's even a pause because which one is it? Maybe we ought to just say it the way it really is. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. It's easier to say debts and trespasses than sins, though, isn't it? In fact, we really do really well in prayer with that, don't we? Lord, please forgive me for my sins today. Amen. Oh, if I made any. If I forgot one, please forgive me for forgetting one. No, don't raise your hands, okay? We do this blanket statement. We also have this habit, maybe it's just something I've observed, I don't know. We have this habit of coming to God in prayer with a pious face and a pious voice. I've known people they have a special voice for prayer. I'm not sure they realize it. And in some sense, I think that's probably a good thing. But on the other hand, it's easy to get a different voice and a different look on our face because it's almost like we really don't want God to know what we're really like, do we? And so we pull the pious mask on. Forgive us of our sins. What Jesus is really trying to address is the fact that the real root of sin is selfishness. Forgive us for the selfishness of our lives. Forgive us for being so selfish and self-centered that we think we know how to live our lives better than you think we know how we should live our lives. Right? When Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, what He was teaching us was that we needed the selfishness removed and we need to partake of the divine nature. So that we become more outward focused than inward focused. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, and this includes me, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, much of our praying centers on who? Centers on us, doesn't it? Lord, give me. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Lord, me. We don't always like that second part of that line, as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive those who sin against us, as we forgive those who've hurt us. There's a story, and I forget the famous preacher, but there's a story of a very famous preacher who went to a church where their tradition is that they call it the Our Father every single Sunday. There's a part in the prayer where they and sometimes they would come forward, in some traditions, they come forward to say the Our Father. And this is what the tradition was in this church. And he started, this one pastor started coming forward, and he knelt down and they said Our Father. And hardly had he said Our Father when he realized something. And he got up and walked out. Later, his wife asked him, what was that all about? He said, well, it was very simple. I knew when I got to the part, forgive us as we forgive, that I wasn't ready to forgive so-and-so. And I couldn't pray the prayer. I think most of us pray the prayer and we don't think twice about that line. Why is it we have such a hard time forgiving others? Philip Keller, in his book on the layman looks at the Lord's Prayer, makes this very pointed couple paragraphs. Let me just read it for you. Okay? Why do most of us have trouble forgiving those who have wronged us? Why is it so hard to give up old resentments and ill will? Why do we harbor hate and grudges? Why do we allow bitterness, hostility, and antagonism to cripple our characters, twist our personalities, and blight our relationship to others? All of this leads to enormous tension, stress, and darkness within. Many of us do not even realize that this state of affairs exists in our lives. In some cases, we have lived this way so long we are scarcely aware of the warfare within ourselves. Belligerence, spite, and ill will have become companions whom we almost accept as normal life partners. Beneath all our difficulties in forgiving others lies the formidable foundation fact of human pride. The iron-like resistance of our egos, the great central eye, which stands like a huge steel beam at the very core of our makeup, refuses to budge, bend, or be broken. We insist on our rights, we defend ourselves, we lay claim to our privileges, we hold fast to our positions. Mine, me, and I stand guard, jealously protecting our personal self-esteem and our proud reputation. And we allow pride to be in the way of forgiving others. In prayer, you see, we need to learn to receive grace and mercy. And at the same time, we must learn to express grace and mercy. And it doesn't mean that you have to have it all together, because the intent of that line is, as we are willing to forgive, because you can't forgive unless God's Spirit gives you the willingness to do so. It's impossible, especially when the hurt runs deep. And so to deal with our pride, Jesus said we need to pray as we are willing to forgive. In prayer, we learn to receive His victory. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. I want you to notice that there are those who translate this, let us not be tested beyond what we can bear. That seems to be the intent. Let us not be tested. We are all tempted. And God doesn't have to lead us into temptation. I don't know about you, but I do a pretty good job of leading myself there. But testing is another thing. Read Malachi chapter 3. Refiner's fire. Read James chapter 1. We all face testing, but the prayer is, don't let it get beyond me. And I have known those who faced severe testing and lost family member after family member and have said to me, I thought God wasn't supposed to give us more than we can bear. And all I can say is, I know that's His promise, and I'm sure it doesn't feel that way today for you. And simply encourage them and love them and pray that He'll see them through. To pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, recognizes we're part of a great controversy, and there is an enemy who is stronger than us. We cannot resist him. Therefore, we must submit ourselves to God so that we can resist him, so that what Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished, we will realize it's true. We learn to receive the victory. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, I know that line is left out of some of the older manuscripts. But I kind of like what Philip Keller said about this. Most people repeat it anyway. It seems to be the right way of ending the prayer. It just seems to fit. To end with giving praise to God. It's a fitting benediction. It's a fitting benediction. To give Him the glory. Because in praying this prayer, we learn true humility. Whatever takes place in our life, His is the glory. It's to His honor. It's to His credit. Now, I know I went through this a little faster than I intended. But I think the points are there, aren't they? That the Lord's Prayer is not so much about getting answers to prayer. And don't misunderstand me. We can pray about those things that we face. We can pray about those things we need. But Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer in answer to the question, teach us to pray. Why did the disciples ask that? Because they saw something different in Jesus' life that allowed Him to talk with authority about His Heavenly Father. They saw Him face temptation in life that allowed Him to overcome and go through in ways they didn't. They saw a peace in His life that passed all understanding, and they wanted that peace. And so they said, teach us to pray. Not so much to get answers, but to be so filled with God and His Spirit that they would reflect His character to those around Him. Not so much that they could tell God what they wanted God to do, but that they might learn what God wants them to do. And that's for you and me as well. Once again, you know the words, but do you pray the prayer? William Barclay, in his commentary, brought up two interesting points. In this section of the Lord's Prayer, when we pray for our daily bread, we're praying for our present needs. When we pray for forgiveness of sins, we're praying for our past. When we pray for deliver us from evil one, we're praying for our future. That our entire life is encompassed in those three things. At the same time, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for the Father who sustains us and who helps us. When we pray and say, forgive us, we are praying and asking for Jesus to allow us to experience the forgiveness He's already given us. And when we pray and ask Him to lead us not into temptation, we are asking the Spirit to do the work that only He can do. And so all of God is brought into all of our lives so that all of our lives might be brought into all of God. Wow. What a difference. You know the words, but do you pray the prayer? I would like to ask and suggest that when you pray, you listen a little more to how you pray and that you incorporate the principles of this prayer more completely so that the focus is on God. That you recognize His purpose for your life and that your life will be caught up in the life of God that you might reveal His character. Don't we all want that? In fact, I'm going to be starting, when I get back from vacation, I'm going to be starting a Wednesday night prayer time. I don't care if it's just me, where we do those things every Wednesday night. Anyone can come. But I'd like to conclude this service by just asking you to come forward. And Pastor Cal is going to lead us as we sing together the Lord's Prayer, and that will be the conclusion of our service and the benediction. Would you just quickly come forward? Let's just join hands. I know we're gone a few minutes over. Let's just join hands and let's sing the Lord's Prayer together. Quickly do that.